Blog Talk Radio.
Kayla's in the building.
All over the world, oh brother, keep singing that label drama. The piracy, I've been feeling piracy. God save the republic, and I'm a democracy, alright. All over the world.
Let me tell you what's really going on. Hope it changes, code for your liberty's gone. Yes, we can propaganda from a socialist song. He needs to realize he's breaking America's bond. His plan all along, and he needs to realize that winning the future is just a future full of lies. He's wearing a disguise, let it turn in the dark. Because behind the sheet, growing, you know that you get the vote.
All right.
Cowan called his foreign policy, forgets we are in God by your creator, no apology. Rule more like a king, but we were just some colonies. The patriots are marching, creating the greatest following, especially with the president like Barack Hussein, who's proved he'd rather be playing a golf game with the kid on the lane. The sick and heavy laden instead of helping Libya, he just spit on the nation. But what can you expect from the FDR throne with no depth? You lost our trust, you ain't got a backbone. Chicago is your home, it shouldn't be DC. We the people speaking up, tell me to you, hear me.
All right, all over the world.
Have a check, breaking any light rail. A poet who can stick to his work on this campaign trail. If you with integrity, it's very evident. Guantanamo being only what he said the evidence. But like the DC, it'll be a nice sentiment. Come this election, I hope we change the president. All right.
My journey to America can be traced back to the independence of India, the land of my fathers. Barack Obama's journey to America can be traced back to the independence of Kenya, the land of his fathers.
Tonight, because of what we did on this day, in this election, at this defining moment, change has come for America.
The U.S. government has not had a budget for over 1,000 days and counting.
What he's doing is pitting one class of Americans against another.
And we can't afford the same political games and tactics that always pit us against one another.
We are all shaped by our past, and we carry elements of the past into the future. Thank you.
Congress refuses to act, then I have an obligation as president to do what I can without them.
Yep. God bless you. God bless you all. Thank you for being here tonight with me and the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. I know you got a lot of things you could be doing, a lot of other things that you have to do, but you chose to come in and listen to the show, and I so do appreciate it. Thank you so much. Today's date is August 27, 2012. Beautiful Old Town Alexandria is where I am, looking out of my picture window right across into the park, which just over on the other side of the park is the Potomac, and other side of that is the beautiful Watergate Hotel, which in the wintertime gives you a pretty nice view. United States of America, planet Earth, third planet from the sun. This weekend, I was in, by the way, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. Now, this weekend, I happened to be listening to just a couple of Blog Talk radio shows. Besides 2020 Radio, G-Ski Rocks, I listened to, well, I don't even remember the name of the broadcast, but it the topic and the focus of that of the particular broadcast that I'm going to talk about was a brokered convention. And the host of the show, there were two, host of the show, were firmly in the camp, or are rather, firmly in the camp of Newt Gingrich. And their argument was that Newt Gingrich is the only candidate, the only person who was running for president who could beat Barack Hussein Obama, who could beat him and best him in debates, and that Mitt Romney was no better than Obama, and that a vote for Romney pretty much, if Romney were to win, get the nomination officially later on this week, that a lot of the callers, and including the host, were simply not going to vote. Or if they decided they were going to vote, they were going to write in Newt's name. I suppose it was a protest vote, but here's the thing. I went into the chat room of this show, of which I clicked on the little button at the top for follow. I decided that I was going to follow that show some weeks ago. So I went in and I decided to, you know, type something in the chat room, and I typed into the chat room, well, a brokered convention is not going to happen. And then I typed, Mitt Romney will get the nomination officially later this week. Well, not so much as a minute and 40 seconds passed by before I was unceremoniously booted from that room. Now, mind you, that was all I typed. There were no curse words. I simply pointed out what I assume is going to be fact. So what I did was, I called into the show and I expressed my disappointment. I let the host know my name and that I host a blog talk, a conservative show, and that I agree that had Newt gotten the nomination, he would do well against Obama in the debates, but that Newt simply didn't have that that certain something, that je ne sais quoi. He did not have, or he does not have, the charisma, you know, the right stuff. Now, a great debater, yes. Would best Barack Obama on his worst day in his sleep? Of course. But Newt doesn't have much of a personality. And somehow, right or wrong, that's necessary in order to connect with voters. So, in voicing that opinion, my mic was muted. And folks began to yell at me. Now, these are conservatives, so-called conservatives. They want a brokered convention where Newt gets the nomination and not Romney. So basically, they're voting, you know, they're living in la-la land. And I found it to be disturbing because as time went on with the show, the topic, the callers and the folks, the host became more and more out of whack, bizarre, suggesting that there were operatives from the Democrat Party and even from our own conservative party, the Republican Party, stashing weed and other drugs in the safes of the delegates when they weren't in their rooms, and that there is a conspiracy to prevent Newt from getting the nomination, that the delegates are being harassed, being forced to sign a pledge to vote for Romney in the delegate count. It became completely bizarre and out of touch. And here's what I learned this weekend, which I should have known all along, which should be obvious and should have been obvious to me, and that is that there are weirdos and zealots on both sides of the aisle. I mean, one would think, listening to these people on this show this weekend, that we were dealing with a bunch of kooky, wild, crazy, Air America liberals. It was bizarre. So, immediately after attempting to get in a point or two, but not being allowed to speak, I simply unfollowed that show, which happens to be number 4,438 in a list of 4,700 blog talk conservative radio shows. So, there you have it. So, with that in mind, we're gonna and Fendelis writes in the chat room, we're looking for commander-in-chief, not debater-in-chief. That's exactly right. That's exactly what we're looking for. Commander-in-chief, not a debater-in-chief. And what we're getting with Barack Hussein Obama, and even with Newt Gingrich, Newt Gingrich can't win. He cannot beat Barack Hussein Obama in a heads-up fight. He just doesn't have it. So, with that in mind, we're going to take a short break. We'll come right back. And remember, you're listening to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Call in if you have a question or concern. We're going to talk about the movie 2016, Obama's America. We'll be right back.
Southern Sense.
Good afternoon, and welcome to another exciting episode of Southern Sense here on Blog Talk Radio. I'm the hostess with the mostest, the radio chick, Annie, along with the coolest co-host, Cool Mike. Good afternoon, Cool Mike.
Good afternoon, Annie. Thank you for that beautiful introduction, as always.
Southern Sense with the radio chick, Annie, as you just heard. Tuesdays and Fridays at 2 p.m. Eastern Time.
Live and direct with GC Rocks.
Yo, yo! Ha! Yo, yo, what's going on, my people? What's going on, my peeps?
all this aggravation.
Chiski loves his peeps, he loves his radio family, and you can join him Monday and Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern and Saturdays at 4.
Stay up late for conservative prime time.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to conservative prime time. I'm your host, GGT.
Speaking of a little less bark and a little more bite, conservative primetime is not a show to relax to. It'll get you going weeknights at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Time.
And of course, the headmaster himself, with the situation reported, C. Robert Jones,
PhD. In the interest of full disclosure, I have had just a little bit to drink.
And catch the situation report weeknights at 8 p.m. Eastern Time. This is a group of patriotic internet radio hosts, and they would very much like you to join them. And brush your teeth. I mean, tell your friends.
Crack-a-lackin', my peoples, what's crack-a-lackin', my peeps? Welcome, welcome, welcome to another edition of You Guessed It, You Got It, and that's how we do it, live and direct with G-Ski Locked in the Captain. What's crack-a-lackin'?
What's crack-a-lackin', my peeps? What's crack-a-lackin'?
G-Ski! What's the crack a lacking, baby?
What's cracking?
Well, it's cracking, man, as everybody else. But everybody seems to love your style, brother.
What's cracking?
Geeski, you are the man. You are the man, dude. I tell you what, I love this topic. I love it. I wish I thought of it myself. I'm jealous. I got envy. I got envy right now.
What's crack a lacking, Dana?
My brother from another mother. How are we, sir?
What's cracking, sister?
What's crack-a-lackin'?
What's crack-a-lackin'? What do you got to say, ma'am?
I just got to say, awesome show. Just totally awesome.
That's right, folks. We keep it crack-a-lackin', and we do it for love of country. So make sure that you listen to Live and Direct with Geeky Rocks and the Captain every Monday and Wednesday evening at 9 p.m. Eastern Time and Saturdays at 4 p.m. Eastern Time. www.20-20radio.com. Always crack-a-lackin', and it's always served with bacon and gravy, baby. Bacon and gravy.
While Obama's in France and telling everybody over there, hey, you got to help yourselves. The world ought to help, but you need to fix your corruption and you need to help yourselves. It'd be great.
He would say that here, but that's not what he's saying here. Here's what he's saying here.
Every step you take, every step you make, when the clock breaks and you can't escape, I'll be taxing you. Oh, can't you see? It belongs to me. How my hands can wait for everything you make, everything I say. There's a price to pay. Every child who plays in the night of day, I'll be taxing you. Every time I've been here, I always get my way. I talk tax free, but I see your face. I look around and it's you I can't replace. I really call and your trust has been misplaced. You keep crying, Barry. Every cent you make, over the black and you can't escape.
Welcome back to the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. Your host, Dr. C. Robert Jones. The call-in number is 347-884-8500. You know, at the conclusion of his film, 2016, Obama's America, producer and star, or rather featured narrator, if you insist, Dinesh D'Souza, asked Americans whether we will pursue the American dream or Barack Obama's dream. That dream, as D'Souza argues, is the defeat of oppressive colonialism. Colonialism that manifests itself in the rise of the United States as the dominant world power at the expense of the Third World. In short, Obama seeks to right the wrongs identified by the most radical communist sympathizers and activists of the post-World War II world. With Barack Hussein Obama Sr., chief among them, D'Souza, utilizing Obama's first autobiography, Dreams of My Father, takes viewers along for a journey into Obama's upbringing in Hawaii and Indonesia, and then to his alleged self-discovery in Kenya at his father's grave. One aspect of the film that D'Souza may or may not have intended to come across is the fact that Obama's childhood story is actually quite sad. As the movie restates, Obama was shuffled about from Hawaii, Indonesia, and back to Hawaii. His father abandoned him and his mother to gallivant in North America and at Harvard, fathering several children by different women, all the while abusing some of those women and drinking heavily. D'Souza portrays the elder Obama as a frighteningly selfish and irresponsible bastard, lout, and a couple other things. Obama at times lived with his mother and her husband, Lolo Satoru, in Indonesia and then in Hawaii. Interestingly, though, as D'Souza points out, Satoru worked for an oil firm and was virulently anti-communist. However, Obama's mother rejected Satoru and made it plain that Obama's senior's politics were honorable and Satoru's dishonorable. After a time, young Obama was shipped back to Hawaii to live with his grandmother or grandparents. Obama never really had a foundational home base, and his childhood brings to mind the term dislocated. In many respects, Obama was a lost little boy. How sad is that? Folks, if you have not seen the movie, you must. It's very, very interesting. Very interesting, to say the very least. Because along the way, and throughout Obama's life, as D'Souza shows, Obama has had a string of surrogates influencing him. People D'Souza calls Obama's founding fathers. I should have put that in quotes because it's quotable. Those include the communist writer and activist Frank Marshall Davis, terrorist Bill Ayers, and anti-Israel crank Edward Said, Jeremiah Wright, of course, and Brazilian communist professor Robert Unger. This series of father figures were in and out of his life at various intervals. The common thread, though, among them all, unfortunately, is that they marinated the young man in a swill of Marxist anti-colonial propaganda, endorsed by the near mystical specter of his missing father. Now, that can be diluted thusly. The United States of America represents the greatest threat to mankind in the world and must be taken down. D'Souza argues that Obama's policies can be easily traced to his view, his worldview. Critics will no doubt huff that D'Souza is engaging in ridiculous pop psychology. What do you think? The call-in number is 347-884-8500. Particularly in his attempt to parallel his own experience with colonialism in India to those of some of Obama's surrogates and of Obama's father, well, perhaps he has a point. Yet the contempt with which Obama has treated Great Britain, notably his attempt to link his grandfather as a servant to the UK, in opposition to Great Britain concerning the Falklands and Israel, and his tacit and overt support for radical Islamic actions in the Middle East. Well, the assertions are compelling, are they not? D'Souza argues that Obama's actions concerning the winnowing of the American nuclear arsenal to ostensibly level the nuclear playing field while dangerous governments like Russia, North Korea, and Iran increase their weaponry. It's the implementation of the theories expressed by Obama's father, Davis, and many of the president's surrogates. We are influenced by those around us. And Obama himself said, show me, who you follow, and I'll show you who you are. Maybe that was a slip of the tongue. Now, political reporters and commentaries who participated in the myth-making of the 2008 campaign and afterwards should, after seeing this film, leave the theater kicking themselves for a missed golden opportunity. Had any one of them put into practice a third of the investigative scrutiny D'Souza applied to Obama's background, he or she could have gained everlasting fame and fortune. He or she would have also rendered a great service to his or her country, regardless of whether the electorate would have heeded the warning or not. Folks, there are no more Woodwards and Bernsteins. Unfortunately, my good friend Fendelis has to leave, but he'll listen in on the podcast. So that's cool. I appreciate that. But hey, listen. Imagine had Woodward and Bernstein still been in operation today. Obama, I suspect, would never have been elected president. But it all came too late. But if will the D'Souza's movie, 2016? Will the movie have an effect on this coming election? I mean, now, I went to see the movie in Alexandria, which obviously has no love for Obama at all. None, mind you. And then when I was visiting in Georgia, I went to see it again with a friend in Lawrenceville. The movie wasn't quite as packed there. It was a Saturday afternoon, and there were only 20, 30 people in the theater, which wasn't too bad because right after that, I went to see the Expendables too. And, you know, there were like 30, 40 people in there. So, hey, and it's like number one at the box office, so. But listen, while one can look upon Obama's childhood and upbringing as a sad tale. It's also true that he is a child of privilege who was afforded a lavish education from high school on. As D'Souza argues, Obama realized that Americans of goodwill were willing to help him advance in college, in law school, in politics, and he capitalized on that help to present himself as a figure of unity while harboring this resentment of his surrogates. He had his chances, and he made his choices. 2020 Radio's in the house. Obama chose to associate with and study under, emulate, and work alongside the worst this nation has to offer. D'Souza's film is but a visual version of what readers, especially readers of The American Thinker, have known for years. Barack Obama may be a natural-born American citizen. He may be the American president. He may be from America, but he is not of America. And neither is his dream. Let's make sure we put that in perspective. Let's just hope that the American electorate will heed the warnings from this movie. Somebody, you know, spread the word. Spread the word. I've given out like 30 tickets so far. 30 tickets to this movie. I've also got some advanced tickets for a screening of the part two of Atlas Shrugged. But before we get into our next segment, before we move on to our next topic, I need to give a shout out. A shout out to you know who. Neil Armstrong, gone, but not forgotten. I recall reading a book about the space, the beginning stages, right from the very beginning, the Mercury astronauts right up until the moon landings, where Neil was, Colonel Armstrong was teased by his fellow astronauts for not really working out and running like they did. They ran every morning. He, Neil Armstrong, chose not to do much running. And his famous response, which stuck into my head and which came to mind after I'd heard he'd passed away of a heart attack, was that he said, and I quote, "I have a finite number of heartbeats, and I don't want to waste any working out," end quote. It was a great quote. "I have a finite number of heartbeats, and I don't want to waste any working out." That was classic, and it stuck in my head just after reading the book. And he's also right. Ironically enough, and perhaps we're just grateful that he was here well into his 80s. Anyway, goodbye, Neil. We love you, man. And you know what? I never did give my shout-out to Elvis, the main man, the king. So I'm going to go ahead and do that now as well. All right, so we're going to take one more short break. Then we'll come back and we'll go on to the next topic. Remember, the call-in number is 347-884-8500. We'll be right back. We've got callers on the line, so we're going to go ahead and take our calls in just a minute. As soon as we come back, oh, yeah. Love you guys. Be right back.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer.
Perhaps fashion's greatest mystery. What makes a big, strong man say, "I think I need a new fur coat"?
I don't know.
The very height of political incorrectness. Nothing says, "I could give a rat's rear end like a man in a floor-length chinchilla." A look that's half street pimp, half Ann Esther, and full-on fur-tastic. Sure as gauche, but you don't spend more on your coat than your car, not to be noticed.
Look at me.
So
crack open a nice cold Bud Light, Mr. Male Fur Coat Wearer, because it takes a real man to wear a lady's coat. Bud Light Beer at Isoco, St. Louis, Missouri.
Let's be realistic for a minute. Am I cooking, huh? Let me take a look at this, huh? Is this what happened in professional wrestling, huh?
Very cocky. A lot of charisma.
The most well-known, the best-looking, the best-dressed, custom-made clothes, gold around my neck, Rolex watch around my wrist. I do cost more than your house. Drive a Lincoln Continental, a Mercedes, a Rolls, own a Corvette, live in the biggest house on the biggest side of town.
Jet airplane.
And I got a limousine sitting out there a mile long. 25 women just died for me to go.
Welcome to Liberal Thoughts, where our thoughts together will bring down this evil GOP empire. The Romney campaign came out with a new shirt that says, "I built my business, Mr. President." I don't ever remember the president saying that, so let's see what he really said.
Just if you got a business, that you didn't build that. Somebody else made that happen.
Well, I guess he did say that, but joining me now is Professor Dick to explain how the president didn't say what he just said.
The president never said you didn't build that business on your own. The president said you never built that business on your own. Now, there are two different definitions to this. Look at my fingers. There are two different definitions to this. Romney says, you didn't build this business on your own. The president says, Obama says, you didn't build this business on your own. Now, do you see the difference? There is a huge difference in this. They're not the same. Now, let me tell you a story. I went to a university in Europe. And let me tell you something about the roads. The roads were alive. They were alive. The roads made everything. They made everything. Now, let me tell you something. You know who made those roads? The government did! The government made the roads! Now, if we made roads like that here in America, the roads would be making everything! Everything! Anyways, let me tell you something. The president never said, you didn't make this business on your own. The president said, you didn't make this business on your own!
Oh, man. Okay. That never gets old. I tell you what. it never does. before we move on to our next topic, the gloves are off. That's the next topic taken from an article in the American Thinker. We're going to take a couple of our calls and see what's going on. 781, you're on with the C. Robert Jones Situation Report. What's up?
Hi, how you doing tonight? This is the first time I'm calling in like this. I just found Blog Talk Radio not too long ago.
Uh-huh.
And I was down in Florida a while back, this past July.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a group.
Oh, by the way,
there.
Hold on.
Okay.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome. Go ahead now. Sorry.
And when I was down there, I caught a TV ad on Channel 25. I was in Fort Myers. And there was a group down there, an organization, that had a picture of Obama on, and they were saying, "Who is this man?" You know, and they were attacking him, and they were saying that at our convention, they want to nominate another person to get rid of Obama. But of course, it was probably a small group, but they had a very interesting commercial on about Obama. Who is this man? Where is his real birth certificate? Where is he really from? Where's his college transcripts? I mean, they got, you know, pretty darn technical on it, and I was almost fell off the couch. I didn't think, you know, somebody would do that, actually put an ad like that on TV. And this here was, like I said, this past July, and it was pretty interesting. I thought it was really nice that somebody's still asking the questions, where's his transcripts, you know? I mean, he's always screaming Romney's tax records. You know, and I tell you, people I work with, as a matter, I'll tell you, I work for the post office, all right? And mm-hmm. I got a lot of people on my back because they know how I vote and where I stand. And they says, well, Romney wants to destroy the post office. We don't need any Republican or Democrat help, because the post office is doing a fine job on that on their own. Thank you down in Washington, D.C., to Postmaster General Donahoe. But I tell people that, you know, Obama is pushing for more tax releases from Romney. I tell my buddies at work, well, I'm more concerned about how Obama is spending us into a deficit, and it's never going to end. You know, it's just so mind-boggling to me because I'm a rarity. I talked to this one blog talk radio station. He goes by the name of G-Ski.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's in the room right now in the chat room. G-Ski.
Oh, is he? Okay. Yeah. I talked to him and another guy from Pittsburgh the other day. It was last Sunday, I think it was.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling him, I says, you know, people in any type of federal branch, you know, they know the Republicans hate federal workers, blah, blah, blah. But, you know, I'm more concerned about my country than my job. I know I can find a job someplace else, pumping gas, riding a cab, as long as my country is righted again. And a lot of people don't see this. They think this socialist traitor that's in the White House now is going to solve everything. And, you know, and if people believe that, I think they better have their head examined or be picked up like that Marine was and put into a mental institution.
Well, you know what? You're exactly right. Now, have you seen the movie 2016, Obama's America?
No, I haven't. No.
All right. Okay. Because you know what? I think a lot of these questions are coming out now in earnest, partly due to the books that are coming out now, the books that are delving deep into his background, and as a result of the movie 2016, Obama's America. Now, I've seen it twice in Georgia. Just this past weekend, and in Old Town Alexandria, Virginia, and I, you know, I thoroughly appreciate the movie. And aside from the Expendables, it is burning up the box office. You know, and it was only out in a limited release initially, so it's doing rather well.
Well, I'm up here in La La Land in Boston, Massachusetts, so you mm-hmm. can see. You know, where I'm coming from, I'm a rarity. As G-Ski says, wow, we didn't think there were people like you up in Massachusetts still. I says, well, we're still in the weeds, baby. We're waiting for our time to come, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, but like I said, you know, for your listeners out there, this guy, I mean, we all know it. He's no good. I mean, he has lied. He's circumventing the Constitution, as we all know. But now, he said it about a month and a half, 2 months back. I can't remember word for word, but if that UN treaty, the Agenda 21, the small arms treaty, should go to the U.S. Senate and gets ratified, which I hope it won't, he said he will sign that. That will slowly dissolve the Second Amendment to our Constitution.
Yeah, and that is, and you know what, and that's just one example of why it's so important that we get out the vote in just a couple months, and that we defeat Barack Obama. And you know what? I never thought I'd say this about Mitt Romney, but he is doing rather well.
Yes.
You know, and his selection of Ryan, I was completely and utterly discouraged by that pick. I thought he should have collected Marco Rubio.
Yes, you need somebody from the South like that, you know, Marco yeah. Rubio or even an Alan West. But Alan West just doesn't have enough time, I mean, I believe. But I'll yeah. tell you, if Alan West should throw his hat in next time around, let me tell you, as a veteran, as a disabled veteran, I will be working for him like crazy.
Now, where were you, Navy, Army, Marine Corps?
Marine Corps.
All right, as was I and a lot
Semper
of my
Fi, brother.
A lot of my folks in the chat room, Semper Fi Marine. I do appreciate your comments. You know, and it's vitally important. You know, we have some blog talk hosts, mm-hmm. some radio hosts, and even some folks in brick and mortar mainstream radio who are suggesting that, you know, Romney isn't the guy. No, who are outright stating Romney isn't the guy, and that we need to go into a brokered convention.
Well, this is what the other side would like, because then they would say, look how disorganized they are.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, let's face it, you see the propaganda machine with the new Communist Party of America, the Democrats. how they operate and how they stick together, no matter how bad they lie and how stupid the American public are to swallow their lies. Keep telling a lie, it eventually becomes true. No, they shouldn't have a broken convention. It's a shame, but I'll tell you, the bottom line is, what do you want? You want Obama or Romney? Now, Romney, people say, well, he didn't do much in Massachusetts. Well, he couldn't do anything in Massachusetts, because when you have both houses controlled by the Democrats here in Massachusetts, the Speaker of the House had more power than the governor.
Because
I think altogether between the Senate and the House of Massachusetts, I think you might have maybe 30 Republicans between both houses.
Yeah,
and, you can't do anything as a Republican governor because it gets shot down or, vetoed and what have you. So, I wish people would just put it out of their minds, vote for Romney. He's done in 4 years if we don't like him, and then maybe there'll be some leader who's got some guts and character like an Alan West, how he got his men freed from Iraq and he was forced out of the army. A guy like him to step up to the plate and say, enough of this BS in this country.
Exactly.
And I got a book I bought. It's called Red Army. It's written by Aaron Klein with Brenda J. Elliott. And on the cover of the book, it has Barack Obama, Nancy Pelosi, Soros, Bernie Sanders, Al Gore, Barney Frank, Harry Reid, and Bill Ayers is on the front cover of the book. I just started to read it now, but just by the name of it, Red Army, and I see all these pictures of all these traitors to America, I said, well, this ought to be a good read.
Yeah,
I
know the book well. I don't know it well. I haven't read the book, but I know of the author fairly well. In fact, I've spoken to him quite a few times. He's fantastic. And I just want to ask you a question. What is your prediction for November? Who do you think's gonna pull? Do you think Obama's gonna pull it out in a squeaker, or do you think Romney's gonna take it?
Romney's going to take it, because right now, usually a sitting president, if you look back upon past presidents, they always have a commanding lead until the conventions. And right now, all of a sudden, Romney's got a 47% to 46% lead, which is not a big lead, but it should be a disturbing sign for the Democratic Party out there that, hey, something's wrong. We're not lying enough about Obama, how great he is.
Yeah.
The American people aren't swallowing the Kool-Aid anymore.
Yeah.
But like I said, it'll be Romney, and it won't be a very big margin, but it's going to be enough to get him in there. And if we can get the Senate and get that old fool Harry Reid out of there, like I said, I'm not worried about my job in the post office, because we were supposed to be destroyed by Ronald Reagan, and he got elected twice. The post office was still around. Bill Clinton did a lot of damage to the post office. I'm not worried. I got 31 years. I can walk out the door. The bottom line is I am concerned about the course of our country.
Yes. Yes, indeed.
That's the bottom line. Like I said, my wife is working. That's fine by me. But the bottom line is, if you're worried about your job, that's fine, everybody. But worry about your country, because if your country goes the way of Europe, Greece, Portugal, Spain, then – forget it. You ain't going to have a job to worry about.
That's exactly right. And the same deal with Medicare, Medicaid, and all that other stuff that folks are clinging to so strongly. A lot of folks don't want to give up these benefits that they've had for many years, and rightly so. They paid into them over the course of their working lives, and they've earned it and deserve it. But it needs to be managed properly
A lot better, yep.
Yeah, exactly. You're exactly right. Well, hey, if you'd like, hang on for just a little bit and stay with us, and then I'll get on to the next topic, and if you have questions, we'll get into that as well. But,
sure, appreciate it.
As I'm sure you know, that G-Ski show is coming up in just a few minutes, so we're going to move on. Yeah, we're going to move on over there right after this show, because quite frankly, his show is just fantastic. Just fantastic.
Yeah, like I said, I found this Blog Talk Radio, man, and I'm looking, I said, holy man, look at all the topics, all the shows. But like I said, my viewpoint is American conservative, not Republican.
Mm-hmm.
Not I'm an American first before anything.
Exactly.
My country, right or wrong, constitution or nothing, you know?
Yep. Yep, understood.
Yeah, definitely.
Now, when were you? When did you serve in the Corps?
I went in 1972.
All right. I joined in 79. I was 17.
Yeah, I went in right after high school, and I went in 72, 76, and my last unit was 2nd Battalion, 5th Marines, 1st MAR Div, and I still remember my barracks number, 33429, because it was the 33 area, Camp Margarita.
Wow, we served in the same unit.
Except 5th Marines?
Different times, yeah.
Yeah.
Holy
son of a...
I was in that unit in 79, right after recruit training. You know, I did my 30 days leave and then headed out to Pendleton.
Pendleton, yep. Camp Margarita, overlooked the airfield.
Exactly.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. All right. We have something in common here. I dig
right.
it. All right. So so hold on, and we're going to move on to the next topic, and then we'll get back to you.
All right. And Semper Fi to all my brothers out there.
All right. Semper Fi, Marine.
Thank you.
All right. Here we go. Let's get Karen in here. Karen, is that you?
This is Karen.
From?
I'm Karen from Idaho. You didn't like it when I say that.
All right. You got something to add here, Karen, before we check out? Because it's almost time to go. I get into the next topic. I'm going to have to save it for tomorrow.
Oh, I'll talk quick. I saw that movie 2016 this weekend.
Yeah.
There's only 8 people in the theater where I was at, and 3 was me and my friend and her foster daughter. But anyway, the part
it's
of the movie 30 that...
people in your whole town.
Huh?
There's probably only 30 people in town.
No.
How big is your town? 40, what town are you in?
45,000.
Okay, well, it's not too bad.
But it was also that there was a concert at the park that night and everything, but... the one thing in that movie that got me was they had a camera on Obama and one of the men from Russia. I don't remember who. And they caught Obama saying, well, after I win this election, I'll have more freedom to do what I want to do.
Right.
And the Russian man said, oh, good, I'll be able to, I'll support you. I'll be there for you. So... it scared me because I don't know what he had in mind that he hasn't already done.
Yeah, exactly. You know, Obama he can't run on his record, as we've all talked about, as Fox News has talked about, and even a lot in the media are catching on right now. He doesn't have a record to run on. He can say that he passed the Affordable Care Act, which majority of Americans can't stand. He can say that he put in "Don't Ask, Don't Tell," but then again, that's it. That's it.
Yeah.
And you know, both of those are extremely unpopular with the American citizenry. So you know, all he has is to vilify Mitt Romney and call him that rich guy who doesn't pay his taxes. What's he hiding?
Exactly.
I wish somebody would come right out. It doesn't have to be Romney. It doesn't have to be Ryan. But just somebody say, well, what is Obama hiding? Why can't we see his college records? Why are they sealed? Why has he paid all this money to seal his records? What's up with that? You know, but you know, that's just not happening the way it's supposed to.
Oh,
well,
another thing I wanted to correct you on real quick is
what?
Obama's book
correct
is,
me?
Obama's book was entitled Dreams from My Father, and you keep saying Dreams of My Father.
Oh.
According to this movie, he actually only met his father once when he was about 8, and the rest of the time he was spent under tutelage of Frank Marshall Davis, who was a communist, and he was on the FBI's watch list for 18 years. And there's, you know, some people speculate that Frank Marshall Davis may actually be Obama's biological father because Obama's mother was good friends with him, and they were all in the swingers club.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
So...
Karen, you've got a wealth of information.
I'm full of it today, yeah.
You're full of it. Hey, just one more thing. Thank you, Karen. I do appreciate that. Let's move on over to G-Ski Show in just a few minutes. But, hey, Killing Lincoln by my main man, Bill O'Reilly. But now he's got another book out. Killing who? Killing Kennedy. It is fantastic. It is fantastic. You have, whoever's listening to me right now, within the sound of my melodious voice, get yourself a copy. But I recommend the hardcover, you know, just for your shelf, but get the audiobook version and love it. Enjoy it. Bill's got a nice voice, and he puts it out there, and he tells the story, you know, kind of like your grandfather would tell you a story. It is so fantastic. Get a copy of Killing who? Kennedy. All right, it's a great book. Got to roll out too, because I got to, you know, do my music here and then get on over to G-Ski Show and see what he's got going on. I want to thank my callers tonight. You guys are great. All my listeners, there are plenty of things you could be doing, but you chose to come in and listen to my show, and I so appreciate it. Really, I do. You've got me up to almost 200,000 listens. Wow. You guys are fantastic. I love you. Hey, we're out of here. Have a good night. Let's move on over to G-Ski Show 2020 Radio. And then after that, GGT 183 and Conservative Primetime at 11:30. Good night, folks. God bless you. God bless the United States of America.
Wonderful.